Hi, I'm Mrs. Silver Fox.
And I'm Mr. Silver Fox. And you're listening to the Silver Fox Swing Set,
a podcast where we document our continued experiences and our own personal lifestyle journey.
Welcome back, everybody, to Season 3, Episode 3. I'm Mr. Silver Fox.
And I'm Mrs. Silver Fox. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I feel good. I found Rolling Rock in the fridge, and we had big, fat, full lemon. So I'm in a special kind of mood where I get to drink Rolling Rock with lemon, and it's one of my favorite things ever. But also, it's, I mean, probably everywhere, but especially in Ohio, it's hot as balls right now.
Oh, my goodness. So hot.
Yes, and in such a miserable way that we are actually set up in our bedroom that is set for a... What is it? Set for like 60? What do you keep it on? 68?
68.
Okay. 68 degrees.
I know the question begs, why not 69? Because it's not 68.
Amen. I just trust your number. I feel like we're not one of those couples that we're not the meme where one person is trying to turn it up and one person is trying to turn it down.
No, I guess I'm perpetually just a oven. So if you get too cold, you just scoot closer.
Oh my God. That's so true.
I brought a special guest this evening.
Oh.
It was a bourbon that you had got me called Blade and Bow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I brought that special guest to the show tonight.
That's a tasty one, too.
Oh, it's going down pretty easy.
I'm really not a liquor drinker, but I have tried the Blade and Bow, and I really like it.
I will say that when it comes to a liquor, I pretty much don't steer too far out of the lane of bourbons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm deathly allergic to gins, as you know, and many other people know. So I don't take drinks from anyone. It's not meant that I don't want to try your drink.
Mm-hmm.
Just my fear of...
dying.
Right.
Well, instantly. You do not want us to have to call the fucking meat wagon to pick up my husband from your swinger party.
Well, it's like, you know, everybody that hears, you know, no, if it's got gin in it, I'll pass. It's like, well, you've never had gin the way I made gin.
Right.
Like, no matter how you make the gin, I'm dead.
Yeah, no matter how. It's all thanks, but no thanks. You know, this isn't like where you meet a lesbian and you say, well, you know, you just haven't met the right guy.
Right.
No matter the gin that you're meeting, I feel like that's a bad thing.
Well, what are we going to roll this episode to tonight?
You know, we kind of went back and forth about this a little bit. I really want to have a conversation about mental health, and I think it's important. I think everybody should be, you know, should know somebody or have somebody that they can talk to when they're facing some kind of mental health situation. And I know that it's not probably the typical swinger podcast topic, but I don't really give a shit. I'm very Trixie Mattel in this moment. Like, it's our show, not yours. And I'm never going to feel bad about starting a conversation about mental health.
I think it's a topic of discussion that we have in our home quite frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something we're very proactive with in our private lives and in our public lives.
Mm-hmm.
We do enjoy checking on each other. We do enjoy checking on other people. That's something that I do find gratification in. If I see somebody having a difficult time somewhere, you know, no matter where I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, make it a point to just kind of try to reach out, see how you're doing.
Sure.
Throw a couple positive bombs in the DMs.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully kind of change the course of direction for the day if I can. If not, at least I want to add to the positive side.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I have found myself too in situations where, you know, somebody that we know, and I mean lifestyle specifically, is, you know, going through it or is, you know, having some kind of problem in their life, and it comes across on Facebook or, you know, through the grapevine because people talk. I'm one of those people that will reach out and very blatantly say, like, if you need somebody to talk to who's not going to weaponize the information that you're sharing,
very important,
against statement. You in your life or against you in the lifestyle, please reach out and have that conversation. And I think that's important because I feel like there's been times where I had a question or I had something I wanted to share. Or I had something I wanted the insight from others, like in the lifestyle and kind of within and kind of outside of the tribe that we're building, where I feel like I would have reached out to those people if I knew undoubtedly that they wouldn't they wouldn't take things they were hearing about me and use it in some kind of way later, if that makes sense.
I think it makes pretty good sense. That's always a concern of oversharing or sharing in mm-hmm. a way, is how can this circle back on me? Or
yeah.
I understand. That's all I'm saying is I understand. Sure. I'm not saying I experience it quite a bit. I'm not saying I've never experienced it. All I'm saying is I understand, you know.
To your, I don't even know how to say it, like, not to your point, to your something, like, you are really, really good at that, at checking in on people, at, you know, even when sometimes I feel like I'm being out of line, or I hear someone else that's kind of being out of line in the way that they're thinking, if they're really emotional, I feel like you do a really good job of validating. And also, I feel like you kind of take it a step further sometimes, and you will ask a question, not to gain more information from someone, but just to gain more of an insight on, like, what they're feeling about that situation.
Yeah, I do ask questions, so I understand your point of view, because mm-hmm. we may not share the same point of view, and helping in any fashion that I can to understand it, I think really puts a part of communication that we try to strive for right in the forefront,
yeah.
you know, because once I can understand, then it's easy to be empathetic in the situation.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a very pity-giving person, mm-mm. but... You know, I can be empathetic and understand a lot sure. of different things. So I do ask sometimes additional questions, but I always qualify it with, you can always tell me to go pound sand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to have the answer, but just to help me understand. And I want to listen. I think that's important, too. Sometimes yeah. somebody just needs an ear.
Honestly.
You know, so I'm not afraid to give it when it's needed. And I think it's pretty cool. Which, with that being said, why don't we talk about where we've been? Because there's a couple places you've been that's going to directly tie into yep. that comment itself. So yeah,
for sure.
Why don't we circle back on this conversation, and we'll open up that window for people to join us in your mind's conversation about it. After we left off on our last episode, we took another journey to Secret Desires.
Oh, yeah.
We found ourselves a little more limited on time, so spending an entire weekend at events has become a little more difficult here and there.
Honestly.
Plus, I'm in a season with my work at this time of year that doesn't allow me to have a tremendous amount of free time. Mm-hmm. But finding that one day as opposed to having two is just as special as having the two, because at least we got to do it once.
Yeah.
So in that event, we went to Secret Desires. What was the theme that night?
Ooh, okay. So poker run for a benefit for a super great cause that I'm going to talk up just a fuck ton about a little bit later, but pirate night. I love a theme, okay, but I can't make a pirate sexy for me. And mind you, there were lots of people dressed like sexy pirates, but I just can't. So I actually went as a siren. I bought a mermaid tail a million years ago that cost me way too much money. Any excuse I can find to wear that, I will fucking wear it. So I went as a siren.
Well, I think it perfectly tied into the theme.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to argue the sexy pirate just a shade.
Okay.
If anybody's ever watched Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, God. I mean, okay, Johnny Depp. I get it.
Why do you think I'm talking about Johnny
Depp? I know you're talking about Johnny Depp. You love him so much. You have a poster on our bedroom wall. I'm staring at it right now.
The biggest lie that's come out yet.
Listen, I hope random women hunt you down and try to get into our bedroom to prove that you, like, there's going to be a whole conspiracy.
Of them, I mean, honestly, if that gets more women in my bedroom, there is a huge poster of Johnny Depp.
It's the fucking
right above the headboard.
Yeah, we got, listen, ladies, you're not into Johnny Depp. We got a Jason Momoa one too, just for you.
and Brad Pitt.
What?
Fight Club Brad Pitt.
Oh, shit.
Before he broke his tooth.
With the fucking, the dish fucking glove.
Right.
You want to finish your off? Okay. Everybody simmer down.
But what was it? Penelope Cruz is who I was referring to.
Okay.
Blackbeard's daughter.
Honestly, you know? Like, I feel like I've seen Penelope Cruz as like a homeless crackhead, and it's still like, holy shit, look at Penelope Cruz.
Okay. Sexy pirate.
Yeah, whatever.
Validate me.
It worked. There was a ton of sexy people. Well, and I met a bunch of new people there, which, you know, I feel like it happens from time to time, but like when it was a lot of new people, I feel like we met that night. No, you don't remember? Oh, well, I met a bigger group than you did. To be fair, like, you kind of stayed in your corner. You had your eye on a couple people. You know, you were kind of doing your thing.
I will say I met a beautiful first-time unicorn there.
Oh, my God.
Spoke with her all evening, flirted with her quite a bit.
Are we talking about that Nubian queen?
Oh, God, yes,
Lord. We are. Lord.
And she came with a friend of ours and immediately introduced. Then, of course, I've always got to introduce myself to a beautiful woman.
Yes.
So I didn't mind. Yeah, I did have a chance to meet quite a few new people myself, but then I found myself missing from the party a couple times.
Yeah, that you did disappear a few times. I had, let me tell you something. I gotta say, okay, so one of the best parts of the night, and something that's so fucking awesome about not just this group of people, but like, you know, as I find, like, you know, we're building our tribe of people. We have, you know, some friends that are into this and some friends that are into this, some friends that are into this as well.
Oh, my goodness.
So there was a foot-long fucking joint, blunt, I don't even know, spliff, whatever you call this fucking monster of it. Enormous, right? And one of my favorite people on earth brought it and was saving it for a certain time and blah, blah, blah. So 10:30 happens. Everybody is ready to fire this thing up. There's videos out there of me just acting like a complete disgusting whore smoking this giant thing. And honestly, it was one of the best parts of the whole night. That was so, so much fun. Oh, you weren't part of that. I'm sorry.
I did get to smoke it.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did. I came out. I missed the first half of it. All right. I don't mind that I did.
That first half was the toughest part to get through.
I saw it being lit with the torch. Mm. A very nice lady came up and grabbed my attention and I wandered off.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. You did disappear. That's fair. And I think it's so funny that, like, you know, as we go home that night, as we're talking the next day, you know, and we're kind of, you know, talking about the fun we had and that kind of thing, our flirting styles are so dynamically different.
Oh, like, they're very different.
You are so smooth and charming and funny. And like, I mean, I'm funny and I'm a likable curmudgeon.
You're hilarious, yeah.
I mean, I'm fucking hilarious and I'm not humble about it. But let me tell you, I had plans. Like, I wanted to nail down one fucking person that I've been working on for a hot minute. And I knew before the weekend happened that he was going to be there. I was ready to make shit happen. So when I was ready to make that happen, I literally sent him a text from across, like, the promenade outside where everybody was all hanging out. It was an eggplant emoji and a question mark. And then I had to make eye contact with him from across a party and tell him to look at his phone. So he pulls out, and I'm watching it all in real time where he pulls out his phone. He's, you know, he's flipping through, he's finger blasting this phone. Well, then he finally finds it and his eyes look back at me like, oh shit, right now? Like, yeah, oh shit, right now. Okay, we go to do the thing, and I'm not even sure where you are at that point, but I knew in advance. I'm still with that nice young lady. I was going to say, you were there for a hot minute. So we go back to do the fucking thing, right? And all the magic things are happening, and there's like a, I'm not sure if I could have picked out a better setup for this fucking playroom. There was like a pile of hot bitches on the bed right next to us. So like, this was slated to be a performance, an interactive piece, all these things. There, neither of us were prepared enough to have the right size condom for him.
Bum, bum, bum.
The good news is, like, I fucking love this dude.
Well, I was in a hotel room and I was playing, and I have a smartwatch on, so for the sake of our kid, and if anything you need, you know, it can buzz and I can take a quick peek, and I don't seem too rude to put my phone on while I'm playing. I got a text from you and you told me what you were gonna go do and who you were with.
Oh, I did text. And oh, I you're was right.
I was so excited for you. I mean, so excited.
I was saw so that excited. Connection I was dripping for, before we got to the fucking room.
Well, I remember when we first met, and that was at a house party. a while back ago, almost over a year at this point. It's taken a little bit of time for us to cross paths. Now, we have all along the way, but it's always during something. He's doing something. We're doing something. You know?
Like, hello, if it's an SD party, I'm already biologically indisposed, so shit ain't happening. So it is what it is. Well, and he's so busy.
This party, you weren't.
Yeah, this party.
Finally.
By the fucking grace of, although, I mean, in the end, it... You know, and it's hard to be mad at a dude whose dick is too big to fit in the fucking one-size-fits-all condoms that are all over the hotel. So I,
good for you, man.
God bless America. So, you know, one of my big things is, like, if we ain't broing, we ain't hoeing.
Right.
That's my big thing. So, like, regardless where anybody else might have fallen apart in this situation, like, of course he felt bad, but it was like, I'm not done with you.
Right.
Don't give up. I'm not fucking done with you. Like, just because we're done right now doesn't mean I'm fucking done with you, because I'm not.
Well, and that begs the question, and, you know, I'm going to start the argument right now. So, couples that are out there listening, you know, people, I want you to enter this discussion.
Oh, okay.
And so, I'm going to ask you.
Group wisdom. Here we go.
If I'm responsible to condom, are you responsible for the lube? Because it really seems like I get stuck with both.
Honestly, but not every man is as prepared. And you learn that from our first draft pick.
Correct.
Because he is clever as fuck. And he carries a bag that has everything in it he could possibly need in any situation. Including a vibrating cock ring. He does not fuck around. So you learn that from, like, a fucking rock star.
Right.
And that's a great thing for you to have in your repertoire. And for the most part, I feel like dudes are mostly prepared. But, like, I bring my own lube because
Well, I have to carry two lubes. And I just don't see where balance of equality
is here.
Well,
that's not true.
I carry yours.
No, I carry my own now.
Yeah, but I still carry a spare because, you know, somebody likes to wear a beer belt.
I love you.
Just in case.
You carry a spare of my lube?
Just in case.
Okay, as a quick shout out, though, like...
And it's in a glass jar, so it could drop.
Yeah, don't fuck around. Also, like, we have a subscription to the lube that we use. Have we talked about this before?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, so in the spirit of full disclosure and Rolling Rock with Lime.
Well, at this party, we got thanked for it.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, yeah, we did.
I got thanked personally for it.
Yep. So my pussy hurts when I have sex. Mm-hmm. It hurts no matter what. Like, I have sensitive skin. I got a sensitive pussy. I'm sensitive, and I'm usually sore for a few days. If I scissor, like... Listen, what was that, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago I used that strap on? I'm still sore from that.
Right.
I'm not even joking. So, like, I'm very sensitive, and it was difficult for if we were going to go to a party, or if I, you know, at the time I had a pleasure dom, if I was going to spend time with him, or if I was going to spend time with you, it was like in between, no matter what I was doing, I needed a break because I was always so sore. So I feel like you did the research and you found this fucking
correct
for me.
Correct. Yuck. I dove really deep into it, and I know how people want to think about this. Like, you know, that's considerate. What a kind person. I am selfish
husband.
As fuck.
Yeah, you wanted
just
to fuck
open,
more.
I wanted to fuck more. Pure, plain and simple.
Well, and this shit was a fucking game changer, though. Like, it's what? It's got THC, it's got
no,
CBD.
No, it's not THC. It's a CBD.
Okay.
And I'm going to throw it out there. We're not sponsored. Kush Queen is the name of the product that I found.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, like, what, 15,000 reviews?
Oh, we read so many reviews.
I probably read 14,500.
Yes, this fucking man will not buy a pair of socks until he reads 45 reviews about it. And I know that, like, LOL, ha ha ha, you laughing? Quit laughing. The last time this man tried to buy a pair of socks, it took him like 6 months. So, yeah, we read through all those reviews and they were raving, and we thought, you know what, let's
why
give
not?
It a shot. But it is a fucking game changer.
And the first time we used it, and of course, you know, me as the considerate and caring person that I am, you know, how do you feel afterwards, you know? Next morning, how do you feel? Is there...
No, we're not even going to come back to your bullshit. Let me fix that.
We're just going to
because what actually happened, as you were nutting, you were like, are you okay? Does this feel all right? And I was like, yeah, I feel no pain. You were like, cool. cool, nutted, and went back in for round two. So shut the fuck up. I remember that because I was scared, like, oh no, round two, I'll never survive. But you know what? I did, and I feel like we fucked the next day too.
We did.
God
we
bless. Did.
I mean, I am very, very guilty of being able to go back to back to back, and I understand.
You know what, ladies?
But I never if mind you're into hearing, that, I'm tapping out either. Right. Like, okay, I get it, and you know, I'm not offended. I just realize.
But also, I want to be real clear to all you ladies out there that think you're going to hit up my fucking husband at a party and you're going to get to fucking test drive this lube. No. No, no, no. You know what? I love all of you. That shit ain't for you. If you want to use it, you can come to me. We're going to have to put on a strap. Like, we'll find a way to use it, but if it's in his bag, it ain't for you. It's for me.
That is... You that gotta, is very accurate.
I'm real to, rude about it.
Yeah. I mean, even with my girlfriend.
I don't even let his girlfriend. Listen, I saw one of the boxes out, and I was like, oh, I know you did not use my expensive-ass lube with your fucking girlfriend. And I love her. Like, I would give her a kidney, probably, if she asked me politely for it and really needed it to survive. Like, I love this bitch, and I'm not sharing my lube with her. So all the rest of you, chill the fuck out. Get your own.
All jokes aside, I did recommend it to a couple at Secret Desires at the previous party. A person who I'd recommended it to came up to me and
shook your fucking hand.
Like five times.
Yeah.
Like five times. Like, I can't say thank you enough.
Yes.
The gal just said, oh my God, that is a game changer.
Yes.
Because in common with you, down for 3 to 4 days after having sex. And, you know, he was well endowed, which added to the experience. And, you know, I don't know how many women that do experience it, but from what I've read, you know, there's quite a few.
There's at least 15,000
that I think sometimes, and this is the part that actually is the caring part of your husband, is I thought, you know, sex is such a wonderful exchange of energy in almost its purest form in my mind. Mm-hmm. And that is something you wish to exchange, hopefully frequently, you know, with your partner. How devastating it is to think that a conversation in your head has to exist. Pain of it is not worth having the sex for right now.
Right, right.
You know, and that's something that I struggle with, like, in my head. Like, wow, I can't imagine being in that space. Like,
yeah, and you know, and there were times like that. Because it always feels good to
me.
Yeah. But there were times where, like, if I knew there was an event coming up, I would just say no, because I knew that if we had sex 3 days before an event, I'm going to be sore as fuck.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, that it's a game changer. Anyway, like you said, we ain't getting no sponsorship. So that's enough about you, Kush Queen. KushQueen.com. Please send me free lube and all the clothes, and I'll wear the shirts, and I'll put a damn flag on my house for this shit. It's good.
Just remember, Mr. Silver Fox recommended.
That's right. You can send it, address it right to him. It's perfectly fine.
So,
but on, I do want to say on that note, while we're talking about that party, about something I wanted to talk about and the gal that thanked you for this, Kush Queen.
Oh.
So, yeah. Okay. Oh, God, so
she's such a smoke show.
Okay. Number one, she's an absolute smoke show. Number two, I'm pretty sure she's fucking straight, because all she does is just tease me all the time, and it's just all fibbing and nothing ever happens.
She's a good flirt.
Well, I called her out on that because we were behind the bar together, and I forget what she said, but I was like, you are going to play a game of fuck around and find out, because every time we're at a party together, you flirt with me, you act like you want to have sex with me, but then you giggle and run away, and you're so fucking cute, I can't get mad at it.
I love watching her walk away.
This, God bless her. She looked me, were you even in the bar at this point? No, you missed that whole thing, didn't you? Okay, let me give you a quick play-by-play, because when I said, you are full of shit, and do not fucking tease me because I am not in the mood, because I'd already been worked up and worked back down once, she looked me square in the face and made that little cocky, you know what I'm talking about, like that little smirky smirk face thing she fucking does.
And those blue eyes.
Pulled Jesus. Her fucking pants down and just kept looking at me. And I looked at her, and he looked at me. And I was like, I swear to God, do not, like, I will eat your pussy on this fucking bar. This girl took her panties off and got up on that bar. And you know what? There were, like, two people holding onto her. Someone brought her a pillow? Like, a body wedgie A wedge pillow? I don't know. I don't know what it was, but I feel like, do we need a pillow? We need a pillow. Put it on the Amazon wish list. We need that. But someone brought her a pillow, and then someone else very politely said, you are about to experience something that you've never experienced before today, and pat her a little head, and it was so cute, and it was so sweet.
Well, the gal that had said that...
Oh, God bless her.
We've played with them a few times, and... Oh, my God. I've heard her say some shit to you.
So she got up on the bar, somebody brought her a pillow. Listen, one of my biggest girl crushes ever was like supporting her shoulders and her head, and I kept eye contact with this hot ass woman almost the whole entire time. It was awesome.
I mean, I knew there was something going down in the bar.
Oh, you missed it. That's what you get. That's what you get for running around getting your dick wet.
I wasn't getting my dick wet.
I'm just fucking at that with time. You.
I mean, other times I'm super guilty.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm this, just
this particular
on you.
One moment in time, I'm innocent.
Honestly, you could have been standing right behind me. I was so focused on the pussy I was eating. I wouldn't have even known you were there. You could have been like, oh my God, babe, I took a video. You did?
I've flirted with the same gal over and over. I mean, she's just very hot. And when you were done and everybody was coming out, a couple friends approached me and they were like, oh man, where were you? Well, I was trying to get in there, but I'm very guilty of loving just to stop to talk to people. And if somebody goes out of their way to talk to me, I'm surely not going to walk away
right.
in the middle of a conversation. And so even though I was curious, I didn't have a clue what was going on. You know, I was giving my time to them and I wanted to. They were good people. You know? So when our friends came out and they're like, oh, you know, I can't believe you weren't in there. I'm like, why? What was going on? Mrs. Silver Fox had her on the bar. And I'm like, wow.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. I wanted to be there for that. Why? Wow. I can't believe I missed that. I'm not upset for anyone but myself.
in most cases, you could be like, you know what? I've seen her eat pussy. Like, I know what she can do. But in that situation, I feel like. Yeah, I feel like you really missed out on that.
Well, and that's just because I really...
Right. Well, and traction. Two, I actually got her panties at the end of that. That's not the first gal that's given me a pair of panties after we had a good time. And I'm starting a little collection. Ladies, come at me. Give me all your panties.
I had one of the sexiest gals that, you know, in my opinion, that we know, had given me... her panties, and I thought, I'm on top of the world. I can't wait to share this with Mrs. Silver Fox. Oh man, she's just gonna hate me for getting these panties.
Am I though? Because what'd she say after she handed them to you?
You can only have them if your wife doesn't want them.
I don't want to be that guy.
And we just got done having sex for like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I still can't top whatever. And I'm thinking, I really went for the gold here.
Listen, I am Mrs. LL Silver Fox, okay?
I warn people, like, if I get a compliment, like, but what about your wife? Like, I'm not in the league, I don't think.
I appreciate you saying that. That's so nice. You say nice things.
Well, what else happened that evening? After your mishap.
Honestly, I feel like we did what we always do. And I feel like we did an Irish goodbye. So, yeah, so we did what we always do. And I recently, actually just like an hour ago, learned that what we do is called an Irish goodbye.
Where'd that come from?
So I saw it on TikTok. That's the thing, TikTok, Irish naturally.
Goodbye, this is like a first for me.
Yeah, because all I know is Midwestern goodbyes, which we talk about with our unicorn friend. Because I feel like we always have those together where like you say you're going to leave and then like 3 hours later you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go. And you just keep saying bye, but you just keep talking more. But I guess an Irish goodbye is like, you sneak out, and this, I think this came from a Chelsea Handler TikTok, so you know that shit is legit. She knows things. I think she's woke. I don't know. But I guess an Irish goodbye is like when you leave a party without saying anything, because if you attend 29 parties a year and you spend time saying goodbye to people before you leave, if you consider it being like 30 to 45 minutes saying goodbye to everyone for a party, at the end of a year, you've saved yourself like 19 to 29 hours of...
Oh, Jesus, and we hit more than 25.
Oh, for sure. So, like, really, we're just really good at time management for the... So we just kind of grabbed our shit and fucking dipped. That's... I love doing that, though.
We've done that since day one. And hell, we've done that at family events for years.
Honestly, I am that like, guy, no matter where.
Are you ready to go? I'm ready to go. Right. Just want to dip? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. Let's not drag it out and make shit weird. Let's just go.
Right.
So, yeah, that was... I feel like we had a really good... I really like, too, doing the, like... when it's a hotel takeover, doing the big party and then driving home, because it gives us an opportunity to talk when everything's super fresh.
Oh, I agree.
And we're not getting... Well, I'm not getting so drunk that I need the night to sleep it off and then the next day before I can compute and like I have to eat something. So it's kind of nice. And I felt like I kind of stayed at a nice steady pace where, you know, I was still totally okay to have a conversation on the way home that wasn't obnoxious and annoying. Fair enough. I really like, you know, people talk about reconnection, reclaiming, whatever. A big part of that for me happens in the conversation that we have following an event. And it's kind of nice to do it all that night instead of the next day after we've packed shit up. And not to say that I'm done with, like, weekend hotel parties, because I love that.
Oh,
and
sure.
I love being able to connect with people for more than one party. And you don't feel like, you know, if you missed your shot, that's it. But I really do like having that chance to connect and have that conversation on the way home that night and then continue it the next day.
Same. Yeah. I enjoy our car rides home. They're a good venting experience. But when we wake up in the morning and I got to get my swinger burrito, you know, it's like I got a one track mind. Like,
right.
My mind, I'm keeping to myself because we're probably 2-3 hours sleep tops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't sleep much at all. I want a burrito and I'm thinking about everything I did to someone or watched you do.
I feel like as soon as you get to a point where like, okay, that's it, I can't fuck anymore, you're already thinking about that burrito. Which I respect because I'm very food motivated. Very food
motivated. Well, I guess because I'm a Taurus that runs with my astrological sign. I mean, I'm about some food.
Listen, Mr. Silver Fox's girlfriend is very into like witchy, hippy-dippy kind of stuff and really into the signs. So I feel like he's learning a lot about the Taurus in him right now.
Correct.
And I really support you learning about
this. I just know Geminis are the worst. At least that's what I was told.
Listen, no, don't scare off the Geminis. Because
she is a Gemini.
Oh, she is?
Correct.
I thought that's she was she a shares Taurus. All those that's memes. Why she was talking so much
No. It's because she is a Gemini and everybody literally talks shit about Geminis.
All this time I thought, oh my God. The other night when we were talking about Geminis, I was talking so much shit because she was talking. Oh no.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Oh, really? Whoops. I love you so much and I'm so sorry. I never met any of that. Geminis are better than Tauruses or Sagittariuses. Oh, fuck.
Dun, dun, dun.
Damn, neither one of you... I feel like you should have texted me that.
Right.
So to be really clear about that situation, you know, we had the incident where there were no condoms big enough. We were already in a setting where we were already super heated up, but, you know, we're both adults, we're both friends, we're fucking broing before we home, and so we had the conversation like, okay, this sucks. I said, I'm not done with you. He said, I'm not done with you. So just to be very clear, that redemption was made later. And I'm not gonna say a lot about it because I'm not a kiss and tell kind of girl, for the most part. But when I tell you this motherfucker redeemed himself, like I had a titty bruise for like 5 days. Like, this motherfucker redeemed himself.
That's always great when you're on the backside, you know?
Well, and you were so fucking cool about that. We're like, this whole thing, you know, and him and I are still, and I said, listen, the mister said, we can set up whatever the fuck we want, and we're going to make this right. Because I feel like we both kind of fell short that night. I wasn't prepared. You wasn't prepared. Like, we still want this thing to happen. I'm not willing to step backwards in time, and I'm not going to start over.
And I respect that guy enough, and I respect you enough that, you know, I haul past him. Like,
instantly. If, like, I didn't even have to say anything.
Like, you don't even have to ask. No. If you just say, hey, I'm going to go hang out with homie, I'm going to be like, right. Hey, that's fine. Well, you know, because I have those relationships you allow with me.
Right.
And I think he's just one of those people. It's like, I know he's going to look out for you.
Right.
And that's comfortable.
I trust him, like,
I do too.
Unequivocally. So I do too. I wasn't surprised at all. But it was still really cool where you were like, damn, that sucks. Also, whenever you guys can hook that shit back up and make it fucking work, babe. I support you. Like, go get railed by that motherfucker. And you were so cool about
I think
that.
I was more disappointed on the way home than you were.
I know. Well,
to be honest, because it was just like, oh, man, you know. Because there again, you know, I feel maybe unnecessarily guilty.
Yeah.
Because I played in the evening.
Right. And,
you know, this whatever situation has happened. And I just feel guilty. Like, okay, I got something that you didn't get. And
that was like a big part of...
That's a tough thing for me to get over sometimes.
But I think our conversation too was like, I felt that instantly from you. And was like, no, don't feel guilty. Like, I would still go sit in a room with this guy with all my clothes on and not fuck him and hang out for 3 hours that we couldn't have sex. Like, I love this dude. Like, yeah, no
he's an
problem.
Awesome man.
Yeah. So it was like,
I would too. I'd kick it hard with him.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's my fucking boy. So, like, there was no worries there. But yeah, you were super, super cool about that, where you're just like, oof, instant hall pass. Yeah, you guys got to make that shit happen. Work.
You got to work this out.
So yeah, I mean, we for sure. We worked some fucking shit out, that's for sure.
Well, good deal.
Yeah. We got that squared away. I do want to talk about, and it's not in our outline, but I do want to talk about our weekend this past weekend real quick. So a friend of ours was having a house party. I got invited to do like a family photo kind of thing. I don't know. It was really confusing. And like, this is somebody that I have worked with doing photography in a business network setting. So like, she is photo crazy. She comes up with all these ideas, and everything's very elaborate and everything's planned out. So when I was trying to get information out of her about how this family photo was going to work, because like, it was a lifestyle party, but there was family, it was all super confusing. She didn't want to talk to me about it. And that should have been my first clue. But I'm apparently clueless because, you know, we show up to this barbecue over the weekend and she grabs me by the hand and is like, come outside. I have to show you something. I'm like, let me grab a beer. She says, we don't have time. Drags me through her house. First time I'm there, I'm like, oh my God, you have a beautiful home, as I'm whizzing through it at like 25 miles an hour. Pulls me outside, points at a sign set up. Well, first, when I came out the door, there was like an arch with fabric, which really should have been my first indicator, but my frontal cortex is kind of fucked up. So we get all the way down there and she points to the sign that says, welcome to our wedding. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cute. Wait. So
I stared at that sign for 10 minutes trying to figure out why I was in the yard.
I swear to God, I stared at it for like probably close to 10 minutes. And I stood there like, and I just kept saying, wait. Well, because it was such a drive, so we smoked. Like, I was stoned as fuck. And then I'm just trying to drink a beer.
I mean, I didn't show up in a professional capacity.
No, listen, I showed up for a swinger barbecue. Right. So I had on fucking leggings that were painted to my body that were like comic book strips and a fucking Batman t-shirt. Bitch, I showed up to this fucking wedding dressed as Batman. She was like, I wouldn't have you any other way. You know what, bitch? I love you. And what's even, this is so cool too, I have to mention it. So she got me a little pin to thank me for letting her trick me, essentially, which really wasn't that hard, I guess. And it's a little silver fox with a little fucking crown
on it. It is so awesome looking.
It's so beautiful. Like, I want to wear it and show it everywhere, but I'm so scared that I'm going to lose it that I don't want to put it on my beer belt.
It belongs on the beer belt. I understand.
Could you weld it to my beer belt, you think?
No.
You'd have, so it stays forever?
I would think maybe you could stitch it in or something.
Something. It needs like an... It's gorgeous.
Super protection because it's so awesome.
So yeah, we ended up at an accidental swinger wedding. And like I said before, I love photographing a swinger wedding. If you got a swinger wedding and you need a lifestyle-friendly photographer, I'm your girl. I am your girl because I adapt well. I showed up as Batman and, you know, not all heroes wear capes. Some of us wear weird pants.
I went out that day, bought a new shirt. You know, I wear a polo a lot of times.
Yeah, you schnazzed it the fuck up, too. Thank God.
You know, I still have my Nikes and shit on. I went to a barbecue, but I just want... I knew the crowd, and there's a couple ladies there that I very much enjoy flirting with. So, I want to be on point, you know?
Okay, that makes sense. I was real confused that you wanted to go buy a new shirt. Like, why are you buying a new shirt for a barbecue? Because there was bitches there that you like talking to.
Yes.
You wanted to be hot.
I wanted to look good. I wanted to represent.
You did too. You did look good.
I wanted to smell good. I wanted to look good. I didn't want to look like I just got done mowing the yard and I went to a barbecue.
Right. I mean, God
bless. I wanted to be Mr. Silver Fox everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That was honestly that was such a great weekend. And, you know, congratulations to two of my favorite people on ambushing us for your secret wedding last weekend, and thank you for letting us be a part of it. And oh my gosh, it was beautiful.
Congratulations. We love you both.
Yes, the pictures coming out of this are gorgeous. I mean,
he's absolutely amazing. We've talked about her before on the show
a million times. Yeah,
but you know,
I know I don't want to give them away because husband, I don't know right? who all knows, and I don't
right yeah. I don't either, but I do want to shout him out as an equally amazing person.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and so. I'm telling you, like, the little moments that we had, like, at the park, and, you know, we snuck away to do, like, you know, the photos of just them together, like, watching them be in love with each other is, number one, disgusting, but number two, like, it was so beautiful. And as the night went on, like, she, you know, we're talking about a lifestyle wedding. She just got hornier and hornier. So they were, like, making out in some of these photos, and I'm taking these photos. As I'm editing, I'm sitting at the computer, like, God. Damn.
Okay, full disclosure, and to anybody listening that was there that may have tried to speak with me and thought I may have been ignoring you, I forgot my hearing devices.
Oh my gosh.
What a debacle that unfolded.
So listen, we're 20 minutes from the house already. I'm on a timeline because I'm the photographer to, you know, this barbecue that I didn't even know was a wedding. Thank God we weren't late because hello. Mr. Silver Fox recognizes after we're already on the road, we're already in transit. Like,
why do you sound so muffled?
He must have said what? Like three times in a row, and then was like, I don't understand why you're talking to me that way, because I sounded muffled to him. And at the same time, we both are looking, like, I'm looking at his ears, he's touching his ears, and we're both going, fuck. And we just kind of looked at each other, and he was like, we don't have time, I'm just going to deal with it. So, okay, fine. You know, I tried to remain very cognizant of the fact that you did not have your hearing devices. And it never... I only had to say something to people a couple of times. Mm. And the one time, one of the gals that we know, we've been to parties with her before. We've talked to her a bunch before. Absolutely. And actually, you know, if she... I think she was my very first arch nemesis because of the vibrating butt plug.
Well, no. We stole the gift from that individual. And then our arch nemesis was born that stole from us.
Okay. I thought she might have been the first.
She was a very nice lady offering me very nice things for that.
She was really just a victim in the first arch nemesis debacle.
Yeah, she was not an arch nemesis. God bless her. No, she was very kind in the offer she made to keep
that
gift. And
I'm going
to
be really clear here while we're talking about arch nemesis here that I still retain the last one that I had, and I am not fucking done with you. I'm not done. Like, we're going to circle back on your bullshit. one of these days, and I'm not sure how, but it's going to be super aggressive. And
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do to him.
What are you?
I'm going to walk right up to his beautiful wife and tell her how gorgeous she is.
Well, you know what? That'll teach him.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe get a kiss out of it and really teach him a lesson.
I'm going to take him into a dark room and interrogate aggressively.
By right, you should.
Thank you. Thank you for supporting me.
I do support you.
I love you so much.
And I mean, I really feel like if that came together, that could be a solid energy connection of getting a lot of shit out between you two.
I still, after all this time, and I haven't seen him in a long time, I have never been so torn between wanting to punch somebody in the face and fuck somebody so bad.
Oh, God, that's such an amazingly hot feeling.
Ugh. Anyways,
I don't want to say hate fuck, but
right. But I mean, but honestly, hate fuck. We can be friends when we're done. We're broing for sure. Like, we're already broing. Let's move on. Let's get it. So anyway, this gal, I overheard her trying to talk to you, and then I recognized that you didn't answer, and then she said, "Oh, I guess he doesn't want to talk to me." And when I heard that, all of it clicked together and I suddenly remembered, like, oh shit, you're supposed to be, like, I'm supposed to be paying attention to that. And so I stopped her and was like, please, please hear me right now. He is not ignoring you. It's not that he doesn't want to talk to you. He does not have his hearing devices. He literally cannot hear you. And for a moment,
well, she's soft-spoken too.
Very.
Very soft-spoken. Very.
And
so.
For a moment, I think she didn't believe me. And I really had to convince her, like, girl, no, it is not you. And then finally she came back and came, and you were so cool about it. Once you figured out what was going on and I kind of filled you in, it was like, I feel like you would apologize to so many people during the night. Like, I'm so sorry. I don't have my hearing devices. And that's, I don't know that. I'm glad that I heard her say that.
I'm glad you did too, because I hate that somebody had to feel that I ignored them, because
oh my God, I'm
just not that person. It,
that broke my heart, me and too. I was just like, oh my me God, too. Please, please stop. It's not that. Let's turn this back around.
And then to find out that at previous parties, because I shut off my backward facing microphones. Mm-hmm. So that I'm looking and engaging exactly with the person in front of me.
In front of you, yeah.
So,
which is brilliant.
You know, but apparently there's can be some
miscommunication. Yeah, there was that was a.
So to anyone that experienced that or has experienced that from me, please, I apologize.
Yeah, he's not a dick.
I just have bad can't hearing hear problems. You.
Yeah.
But once you get in front of me and face-to-face, trust me, you'll have 100% of my attention.
Yes.
And then you can experience me in my entirety.
Ugh, careful what you wish for.
Well, we jumped quite ahead to last weekend to say congratulations to the couple. But after SD, there was something amazing that you participated in. You went on a solo adventure.
Yeah, I did. And it all kind of ties back into this whole, you know, this mental health topic. So one of the things that I've really been focusing on lately is really trying to, discover the most broken parts of me and heal those so that I think can be more open, I guess, to everything. So, I mean, in this, we're about to get deep. So, in the spirit of full disclosure, you know, what brought us to a place where we can have open conversations and where we can talk about mental health in our home and where we can validate each other. Like, that all came from somewhere, right? So a behavior is in reaction to something. So that behavior in us was a reaction to a crisis point that we came to with our teenager. We almost lost him to a death by suicide. So that happened kind of at the beginning of our lifestyle journey. Like, it all kind of happened at one time. On one hand, you know, we're trying to be more open and discuss our wants and needs with each other. And we were really kind of focused on that. In that same timeline, in that same piece of that Marvel universe, like, we hit an absolute crisis point in our home that we didn't see coming. And I will say, like, personally for myself, and I've seen it in you too, like, we really carried that guilt for a long time until we had the mental health literacy to have conversations about where we were and how we got there. And so, you know, when this happened, I'm not going to give too much information, but we were, I'd say, a few short hours from losing the thing that we, like, outside of each other, care the most about.
Absolutely.
We didn't see red flags because we didn't know what we were looking for. When that happened, it stopped time in our lives. And when I tell you, like, we were at a point in our lifestyle journey, in our regular life journey, where we knew we had to get rid of the toxic people in our lives, and we had done that. When we did that, we had no one. I mean, we had our family, but our family is kind of hither and yon, and, you know, everyone's family is a mess. But, like, when this thing happened, we didn't have a tribe. We didn't have people we could talk to. We had no idea what to do. And a lot, and I feel like for all the times I make fun of you being a Hallmark, like, this is going to be the one episode where I'm a little bit of a mess, probably. And as I'm going through this journey myself, too, I feel like I'm more open to emotions and things that are happening in my life. So I'm just trying to let myself feel those things. So pardon me if I get smushy. But there were a lot of nights that we didn't know. We had nobody to talk to. And Mr. Silver Fox and I literally would just hold each other and cry because we didn't know who we could talk to. And we didn't want to tell the kid's mental health story to people that might not understand it. And we didn't want to out him and his, you know, and his journey and the things that he was trying to experience. So we didn't want to burden our family, and we didn't have friends. So it was, you know, and all the friends we had were new friends, and we didn't want to, you know, go from being this super sexy, fun couple to these people that were really, really struggling to keep their kid alive. You know, this whole thing happened, time stopped, and it was like, in that moment, there was a lot of things that changed for us. And one of those things was I walked out of a really high-paying career that I thought I was going to have forever, because it was dragging down my mental health, and it didn't allow me enough time to spend with my son, who, you know, was released from a hospitalization situation. And there's such a gap in when someone comes out of an acute hospitalization and they come home and they just kind of send, and it's not just kids, it's adults too, where they send you home and they just kind of say, oh, good luck, you know, hide the knives, hide the things, hide anything they can harm themselves with. And good luck. That going through that experience for us, that changed something fundamentally in me, where I could not believe that the process for parents with youth in crisis, like, there was no process. There was no follow-up. There was no, everyone just kind of, it was a hurry up and wait. Oh, you need a psychiatrist to put your kid on medication? There's a six-month wait. You need a therapist? There's a year wait in your area. It's like, we didn't know what to do. And in that moment, like, that lit a fire under my ass to advocate for everyone that was going through this thing. Like, I wanted to be the champion that we needed, the person. And it ultimately changed the course of my life. I walked out of a career. I started a new thing. You know, all I want to do is advocate for mental health. So, you know, part of this process is, it's multifaceted. So, and let me just say, for, you know, the people that are, you know, hearing this, that are going through the same thing, that are kind of hanging on, like, oh my God, what happened? You know, so our son is very much alive. And where we are now, where he is now individually, where we are as a family, where we are, you know, with your relationship with him, my relationship with him, his relationship with to himself and to the world and to everything, like, things, they're so much better.
So much,
like,
better.
We're in a really, really good place. But getting there was multifaceted. So, you know, we needed a medication journey. We needed a therapist journey. We needed a, you know, now we're doing group therapy. Now we're doing LGBTQ plus therapy. Now we're doing groups with teenagers. There's teenage hangout spots that are, you know, supervised and part of the community. And it's like,
friends are coming over. We're going to friends.
Yes, and, all the,
you know, like-minded people are gathering together.
Yes. You know, and it, you know, it, I feel like the village, everybody says it takes a village to raise a kid, and the village that we needed, we didn't have when we needed it. And,
right.
And that's to no fault of anyone. It just, that's just the truth of it. That is what it is. So, you know, in this,
well, and our kids' struggle was against, you know, a lot of sociological norms.
Yeah.
You know, which is something that in our ethical non-monogamy journey has been something we've been trying to break since we got into
right.
it. And normalize, you know, societal non-norms.
Yes.
And we've met a wonderful, wonderful groups of people that are also contributing to that. What we were trying to do on one end, we weren't realizing kind of the other end.
Right.
With the kid. And it's amazing when I go back and listen to our other episodes from episode one to episode now. And I know the journey we've been on. Not right. everybody gets a, you know, a couple hour blip out of our lives a sure. month or every other month. And, oh, how did they get there? How did they get there? Well, this was a major contributing factor
yeah.
of, one, I had to become a lot more open-minded towards a lot of different things that I just didn't understand. It was easy to say I didn't care about it because it didn't affect me in any
right.
way. It, you don't bother me, I don't bother you, I don't care kind of thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes that kind of feels alienated
yeah.
from my point of view, or I'm alienating someone because it's like, you know, you think it's super important, you're sharing it with me, like, hey, it's really not that big of a deal, move on. You
sure.
know, hey. Why, in the meantime, other people are like, hey, you know, this is wrong, you shouldn't, because, you know, somebody told me something to say it.
Right.
Say something to you about.
And well, and I think for us too, you know, like, we grew up a sort of like a similar way, and I would say, like, where I grew up as a female, if I had big feelings, I got sent to my room.
Sure.
You know, if I was crying, if I was upset, if I was, you know, not listening, if whatever, because of the time frame that I grew up in, my feelings were too big and I was too emotional and I wasn't thinking straight and I needed to go to my room. And so that for me is kind of where my internalization of, you know, if I have a problem, I can't just bring it to you right away. I have to, like, I got to put it in a tea bag. I got to steep it for a little bit. I got to add a little sugar. I got to think about it. Like, I really have to sit with something before I bring it to you, or to, you know, even at work, if I have a problem with something, someone or something, I do need to sit with that, just because, you know, my upbringing. And on the other, like, on the flip side of that, as a kid, you were told, like, you know, man up.
Yeah, I don't cry.
Yeah, no, you're not men allowed to cry. You're not allowed to have mental health problems. You're not allowed to have thoughts of...
Facts don't care about your feelings.
No. The world doesn't owe you anything. You're being too, you know, you don't get to be emotional. You know, grow a pair. I feel like, you know, we're all a result of something. Our behavior is a sure. result of something. So I feel like we both kind of share that.
Well, I'm not that way. I want to hash it now.
Yeah, and that is true.
I'm that kind of person. I'm very confrontational.
Yes.
I want to talk about it.
Yep.
I want to sit down and yeah, I want to fix it. I want to get in there and get the job done.
And I love that about you.
But I will say, this is where swinging has kind of helped us.
Yes.
Because we were taught by a couple that is very close to us, and the gentleman had said something that resonates with us all the time. We actually incorporate it with people that we talk to, especially newer couples that may want to meet us.
Yes.
You know, we need to go the speed of the slowest person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you need a day, or you need 2 days, a week, you know, if you need that time before you come and talk to me again, I have to be patient enough to go to, as you know, as fast as the slowest person.
Right.
So I'm sitting there chomping at the bit. I want to get this this journey on its way.
Yeah.
And you want to formulate it so you can have, you know, the approach you want to the conversation. And I think that that's kind of helped us too. So yeah, the culmination of everything that we've went through with the kid.
Yeah.
I would agree. And the people we've met within the lifestyle, I think, have really started adding to that
right
positive mental headspace to escape the toxicity from in the beginning, which was the original reason why we got into this.
Yes. And I will say too, you know, I heard it described really eloquently last weekend by a friend of mine. You know, with everything that I have going on, with the way that my life is, you know, the work that I do, the only time I get to stop worrying about everything is at lifestyle parties. And, you know, a part of me always felt kind of selfish that even in the throes of what was our biggest lived nightmare so far, that we were trying to make time to get away to do things. I mean, we, you know, we sent the kid to be with somebody safe. And, you know, we really planned for those things. But it's like, sometimes those, especially when we were in our darkest hour, I feel like those parties were the one place where I could not worry about that stuff. Like, I knew the kid was somewhere safe. I knew that we were somewhere safe. And it's like, I could shut off from worrying every second of every day. So I feel like that was...
I had a crossover at the one hotel takeover that we went to where the topic of conversation came up, which was, I think, an important time in my mental health to realize that, listen, I've got some other maybe unspoken things that I need to get out in the open, right, is because I wear a tattoo to remind me of the situation with our kid. You know, I wear the semicolon on my wrist. Mm-hmm. And when people recognize that, you know, they know what it stands for. I typically get, you know, something directed towards me. And then I clarify that it was our kid that we went through. And, you know, our kid and I share the same tattoo. And, you know, I got into a real weird headspace about it because it's always been different. It's always been separate.
Yeah.
It's never been something I needed to focus on because it was our getaway. But since then, in that moment in time, I've really had an opportunity to start working on that. I talk about things more with you. I had to acknowledge some stuff about myself.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, too, like, that's self-insight is always the most uncomfortable part of getting better. And that's not just, like, you know, mentally getting better. It's everything.
As a person.
Yes.
As a person. Like, that's a big part of it, the mental
sometimes
side.
Sometimes it's so necessary, but it's so uncomfortable. It's like having to look at yourself and say, oh, shit, I'm an alcoholic.
But coming out of our sexual, you know, cave, if you would, you know, the mental health side of that was liberating. That was really the only word that we could find right about everything. It was liberating to each other to be able to come out of that cave
and to have so much safety in one place. Like, you're safe to drink, you're safe to dress like a whore, you're safe to have sex, you're safe to talk to people, you're safe to express your desires, you're safe to
right.
So it's like that safety, like, really gave me an opportunity to, like, for just a little bit, shut off all the stuff that we were dealing with, you know, like a duck on the water.
Like, and we've talked about
shit
it
on the surface, but them feet, like, our feet were just paddling so fucking hard.
But we've talked about it on previous episodes. We talk about this in person. The lifestyle will amplify any issues that you have in your life with each other. It will amplify it and bring it to the forefront in quite a hurry.
And that's not negative, though.
It's not.
It can be negative. It can be positive.
An issue shouldn't always be perceived as negative. An issue is just an issue.
Right.
Which, you know, it is intended for discussion.
Sure.
And I think that when you're hyper aware of it because it's coming at
you.
And you take that home and you discuss it in a positive light, you know, because In no way, shape, or form am I saying the success of the mental health program is based on swinging. I'm not saying that.
No, no, we're not. I'm not. We're not suggesting that if you're living with a mental health condition, that the answer to that is start swinging.
Yeah, I'm not. Please throw the disclaimer out there.
Right, right.
Don't try this at home.
But I will but try say, it at mine. I will say this though, like as we. You know, as we kind of made it through that and survived through that and got to a point where, you know, we were kind of doing all these different therapies and all these different things, like we were learning on the way. Mm-hmm. And I think we took those lessons and applied them honestly, like everywhere in our lives. I want to talk about mental health advocacy all over the world and mental health literacy, and I want everyone to know everything, but I, you know, I'm not going to jump up on a pedestal and be that guy and put on my, I don't know, put on my dang old instructor hat or anything like that, but like...
No, and I understand it. I mean, you're a very committed, passionate person, and it's interesting because no matter how much... You try to keep the discretion of the lifestyle mm-hmm. and your business professional life. Some people have the luxury where they can marry the two.
Right.
Some people have to keep them distinctly different, travel to different areas right. to participate. And that's what I think we've been working towards in our podcast, and other podcasts are working towards the normalization of it. So the,
And like really, yeah, destigmatizing that whole. And I would say, like on my own personal health journey, like it's way past time for me to find a therapist. I'm actively searching a therapist. Here's the problem: I can't go to a regular therapist that believes in monogamy and believes marriage only looks a certain way, right? Because if I do and I start talking about, you know, it's all going to come to what's going on right now. And I explain that, you know, I have a husband and I love him and I have a girlfriend and I care very much about her and I have a metamour that I absolutely adore. That monogamous person is not going to understand. There's such a limited supply of therapists and counselors and people that even know about the lifestyle that we're living. One, know about it. Two, are well versed in it. And three, are qualified to give advice pertaining to it. Right. So it's like, you know, in turn for what I feel like if I had a therapist, okay, great. I could go see that person once a week, maybe three times a week right now, but whatever. I feel like I haven't found that person. I haven't found that resource in the area that we're in. I just haven't found the right fit for that. So in the meantime, I'm trying to sort of balance things out. So like on a personal note, kind of where I think we're at as a family and where I am as a person, it's like when we, you know, we got to a point where we've put in a lot of work. We've done different therapies. We're doing all the things. I feel like we're all communicating in a different way, in a better way, in a more positive way. And we are, you know, our son is in a really great space and is at this weird teenage age where he's kind of discovering himself, and that's great. And we're all kind of working together to make that work. But like, we got to a point where I recognized that he was safe and could keep himself safe and, you know, here with us on like in this world and on this earth and in our lives, that I kind of looked around and thought, ooh, shit, I should probably work on my stuff too. And I think a lot of my stuff that I need to work on has been kind of a driving force and an unspoken thing. And part of what makes me fun and messy. And I love fun and messy, but like, I want to clean it up a little bit. I do want to talk about some of the things for me that recently that I've done that have been really impactful, and just things that I want to talk about in general. I know you weren't there, so you'll just have to believe me when I say this cool stuff happened. So the first thing that I did actually, so the unicorn that we kind of brought in, that I'm actually hoping we can get on to interview because I have a ton of questions for her. We went to like this plant show kind of randomly and just hung out for the day and went to lunch. And, you know, we were kind of joking around, and she listens to the podcast. So we were making jokes about how I tell people all the time I'd be a great cult leader. So, you know, we're kind of joking. She sort of threw this thing out there, and it was that. So the name of it was called Wild Women's Weekend. She kind of laughed and said, here's kind of a big giant sex orgy thing that might be a cult that you could do. That as I'm looking at this website, and we're, you know, we're sitting and we're having lunch, and I'm looking over it, as I'm reading it, I was like, you know, this actually sounds kind of badass. Like, even if it's sex cult, even if it's a giant lesbian orgy, I'm not going to be mad about that anyways. So 100% bring it. Even you were a little bit skeptical about what this thing was. The event is put on by the, and we're going to link all of the stuff that we talk about. I'm sure that you have a special little spot where that goes. I'm not part of that editing process.
You watch YouTube enough.
Okay. Well, the links are there in the comments. Smash that subscribe button, guys. Give us a like. Check the comment section for that. So, yeah, there's going to be links to all this. But so this Wild Woman Weekend is put on by the Sacred Medicine Sisterhood. And let me just read you a really small little excerpt. And I'm going to use my Mrs. Silver Fox voice. So try to hide your boner over there.
I will.
If you can. Here is a wild, juicy ride where we connect beyond the mind and limited personality. We nourish each other through our bodies and hearts and celebrate the gifts we are by simply being alive as radiant, soft women. We gather to celebrate our strengths, beauty, and gifts. Sounds hot, right?
It does.
Yeah, mega hot. I showed up to this thing and kind of expected a little bit of a maybe a sex cult, maybe an orgy, maybe... maybe who even knows, but my biggest plan for the weekend was I had some really heavy trauma that I really wanted to let go through some sort of ceremony or ritual or something. It concreted in, like, in my heart, in my head, that I was going to release this trauma. And a lot of the trauma that I carried, some of it recent, some of it much, much older, are things that I haven't been able to, I guess, to wrap my head around and to deal with in a way that it doesn't affect personal relationships. Like, I feel like my trauma from before I even met you really affects some of the, like, some of my sexual tendencies and some of my, I feel like you call it the ritual. I had a lot of that I really, really wanted to let go, not just because you and I have talked about it and you've recognized it and said, hey, like, this is a thing. I validate that this thing happened to you, but I want you to know that I see how it's affected you, and I respect it. Like, you've always been very, very good about respecting my boundaries, my rituals, the things that I do based on, I mean, that really are just built-in trauma responses that I've just always had.
Right.
I have to recognize that I appreciate the fuck out of you for that. You've always been so, so patient with me in some of those things.
Well, so you gotta be in some situations.
Yeah, but not every husband is like that. Not every partner is like that. Not every person is like that. And you are like that, and I really appreciate that about you, if I've never said it before.
I appreciate you very much. Thank you. That's very sweet. I love you.
Don't get too squishy. Okay.
I'm the Hallmark guy.
Please. I know. But, you know, well, look at me now. I'm just, I cried at the fucking Barbie movie anyways. You know, so I showed up to this thing. Spoiler alert. It was not a sex cult. My way of processing an event, a situation, a feeling, is to get into my car, play the playlist that I'm feeling, and cry. And that's not really a negative thing. Like, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's very, very positive. So I did an Irish goodbye at the end of this weekend. Didn't say anything to anyone, left, and spent 2 hours crying on my way home from this thing. Some of it talking to you on the phone. It was just, it was,
We talked quite a bit on that ride home.
Yeah, that, and I'm not really a talk on the phone before I get home kind of person, especially with you, because I feel like it really kind of devalues the time we have together to talk in person when we do get home. Like, if we've already had those conversations, I don't like to struggle at night with what we're going to talk about once we get the work shit out of the way.
Right.
So a lot of times, and I'm like that with everyone, but especially with you, because you're my person. So I connect with you the most. And sometimes I try to save those things for when I get home, but I knew I was going to cry. I knew I needed to get it all out. Sharing all of that stuff with you before I got home was honestly kind of a nice relief that I didn't have to do it when I then got home.
Right. And it was fresh.
It was
something that we do frequently on our way home from events. So right. Being a part of the car ride is something I always have enjoyed.
Same.
A couple car rides, not so much. But
Right. But for the most part, we enjoy a good car ride. Yeah. So before this weekend, I was not familiar with some things that I just want to share in case there's others that aren't familiar with them. You know, it was women's retreat and a women-only space. While they welcomed different genders and we were allowed to bring our children, so it was just kind of a big, giant community. One of the things that was really, that I've never experienced before was that women-only space where we were really celebrating all the things that it meant to be, even the ugly parts of being a woman that we could share with each other because we all had that one common thing. And people sought me out and I sought people out that I didn't know that I was even looking for. And some of the connections that I made in that space, some of the most meaningful connections I've ever made, and maybe completely by accident, you know, maybe it was divined in some way. I listened to a mother apologize to her daughter for the things that had happened from her childhood. And that message wasn't for me, but in that space where we were all sharing and connecting and our, you know, our energies were all kind of in the same space and just allowing each other that space, I needed to hear that apology. And I took that apology and said to the woman who said it, like, I know that apology wasn't for me, but I can't tell you the burden that I feel lifted off of me and the resentment I feel draining from me hearing a mother apologize to her daughter. It was one of the most profound weekends I think I've ever had.
And we had just come off a bit of a healing experience prior to this between you and I. When we had talked about that event I talked about earlier, where I got into that headspace.
Yes.
So heading into this weekend, we were in a very positive light.
Yes.
And you were going in a very individualistic approach, which was what it was meant for.
Sure.
Which I found out in the end, I just failed to understand what was going to take place there.
Me not too.
That not that I'm saying that in a negative way. Okay, so you got a bunch of women getting together. Okay, let's bring the 90-10 rule.
Right.
You know, I need that 10% to describe this event to me. But, you know, in actuality, at the end of it, hearing everything that went on as far as a healing process, the traumas you were able to discuss, the ability to not have to wear makeup and feel judgment.
Oh my God.
You know,
and that's something
too. All the things that, you know, take time in the presentation of others or for others, that was all just wiped away. And it was just raw, natural human beings interacting, uplifting, gassing up, giving an ear, you know, being able to tell their stories, you know, even being able to apologize.
Yes.
You know, and figuring out how to do that at this event just sounded so incredible that you could participate in it, and so much so that you and our kid can participate in it.
Right.
It was game changing when you got home.
I felt differently when I got, I feel differently now. Like, right. I feel like that was a weekend that absolutely changed my life. And, like, the wild thing to me was that, you know, as everyone got to know each other and what our jobs were, it was literally a giant collection of healers. You know, there were trauma nurses, there were other, you know, peer advocates, parent advocates, advocates for mental health, nurses, doctors, people that were trying to heal generational trauma through, you know, through themselves. It was wild to see the correlation between women who heal others taking this weekend to heal themselves. And that kind of gave me the permission that really I didn't need, but I felt like I needed to do, like, to do the work and to do the thing. And while I did go into it individually, there was a huge, you know, recent, I guess, thing that it, that we had dealt with, that, like, while we had healed as a couple, and I feel like we healed together and separately from that, like, I was still holding on to a lot of what I felt was one of my biggest betrayals that I've ever felt. So a big part of this weekend for me was releasing the connection to the betrayals that I feel like impacted me the most in my life.
Holding yourself hostage to, yes, more to say.
And I really did hold myself hostage to those things. And I feel like,
well, I think that affected your lifestyle experience.
Oh, 100%.
In a lot of ways.
100% it did. So there's a couple of things from this weekend that I feel like really changed the dynamic way that I think, and really also kind of applied to the lifestyle that I just want to say out loud in case it resonates with the right person. So one thing that I learned over the weekend is that as women heal ourselves, we can heal forward in time and backward in time. So when I heard that and recognized that as I'm healing myself, that I can heal, you know, my own child and also my mother, even without them being there, that for me was a big kind of light bulb and kind of a validation that I was doing the right thing. Because we do need healed forwards and backwards. And in a lot of ways, I feel like I'm, in my family, the person that's trying to break generational curses and trauma and ways of thinking. And so hearing that really validated that inner struggle for me and propels forward that I feel like I just kind of do in my family, if that makes sense. Something else that really, really resonated with me over the weekend is one of the first things that they said for the weekend was, you know, as we're all trying to create this kind of safe space where everybody can live and be and, you know, say what they want, is that as we're judging other people, whether it be, you know, a very innocent judgment or something very, you know, malicious in our head that we're thinking about somebody, that all judgment comes from the opposite place. So like where I am judging somebody, that's coming from a projection of a judgment of myself. So one of the big ideas for the weekend was that to let go of judgment in others so that we could create a space for the other women there, that we would also stop judging ourselves. And hearing someone say that out loud to me was groundbreaking.
It hit with me. Maybe I cut this out. Maybe I don't, what I'm about to say, because I'm very guilty of people who may enjoy certain sexual pleasures that I'm not into, but that person may be trying to engage with me, but I think about them engaging in something that I'm not into and unfairly putting forth judgment within that person.
Sure.
And
we're all guilty of that.
And so hearing that and meeting people in person that, you know, have engaged in things has allowed me to change my mind.
Yeah.
I'm not there to look at anything they've ever done. And personally, whatever they've done is their business with whoever they've done it with, not right. My business with them.
Right.
But still be able to now say, Okay. That's wonderful that you did that.
And I find myself too now where if I feel like I'm judging a situation or a person or a place or something, like now that I've heard someone say that, I will take that moment and say, okay, like you're judging this thing, but why? Like, where's that judgment coming from in myself?
Right.
And giving myself that second to think, I mean, it makes me feel like a dick constantly. I'll tell you that, because I'm like, okay, well, you seem really judgy about this, but why? Why? And I feel like that's an important conversation I'm having with myself now from hearing that.
Well, I think you and I have been able to, we can be friends with two different couples that aren't necessarily close to each other.
Right.
We've been able to do that, stay sidelist, through practically most of our mm-hmm. marriage together. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's been something from the beginning we've been able to do. Like, hey, listen, I know you got a problem with that person, but I like you.
Right.
I like that person.
And your, I don't give a shit mine. About your problem with that person.
Yeah. You know, let's just be cool. And you're not going to sway me. They're not going to sway me. I like you both.
Right.
So I think that's something that's been great for us. That has also worked against us at times, but
amen.
Hey, oh well, we don't care. It's important to acknowledge your judgments you're making in others and really think about why you're making them.
Yes.
Because I agree with you, when I do portray those judgments in my head, I am guilty of something I'm portraying in my head that I'm trying to project upon that individual. Right. So I know that's basically very repetitive of what you said. But it's important that I found that saying.
Right.
You saying it isn't me hearing it.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's fair. But me discovering it and saying it back is my acknowledgement to, wow, that's actually pretty powerful if you think about it.
Right,
right. Right, right.
And that, I mean, that really did change like the way that I think about situations and people and places and things. And that, I think that awareness has kind of changed where I'm at.
Right. And in our limited time and experience that we get with people, you know, 6, 8, maybe 10 hours with people, I think a lot of time that we may waste on that energy,
right,
it could be better served in a different way than worrying about the problems that other people have with other people.
Right.
And work on the relationship of the individual that's in that moment with us.
Yeah.
You know, we got into the lifestyle to have positive experiences and be able to share those with other people. So
sure.
I'm really happy that I was able to take something out of your women's retreat.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just for women, as it turns out in the end. You know, all those women were able to leave there and carry that real positive healing experience. And look how you have affected me.
Right.
You know, look how you've affected other people. My girlfriend, her sister-in-law, you know, are planning trips and, you know, getaways for this same event.
Right.
Wow, you know, maybe I need that, which makes me think, and wonderful that women are willing to get together and do it, but why aren't men willing to get together and discuss their mental health? You know, I don't think you're weak because you want to gain a positive headspace.
No.
You know, as a man. I just think there's a stigma.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
You know,
that exists.
Like, no, I'm solid as a rock. I don't need anybody.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
man. I need you.
Right.
You know, I need you in my life. I need my kid in my life. I need a lot of things in my life that maybe I'm not such a granite statue that I thought I was.
Sure.
And that's an interesting thing to find out, but it allows more on my end to be able to express to my wife in a more communicative way my feelings that I haven't been allowed to talk about most of my life.
And I honestly you probably, like, not just, you can't just talk about them, like, you're not even allowed to have them.
Right.
And when I met you, you weren't even allowed to have asthma, according to your mother. So, I mean.
Right.
Okay, bitch.
Turns out the doctor disagreed.
Yeah, it turns out you actually can have asthma and feelings. So right. I'm glad you share those with me.
Super hot.
Yeah. But yeah, the you know, that weekend kind of led me into an accidental weekend of something that I guess I thought was going to be just a big old giant party, but turned out to be something so much more. So let me get this giant plug out of the way. And again, we're going to link these guys in the comment. So I got invited to Incarceration in Mansfield. It's if you've never heard of it, it's a giant music festival. They have tons of bands there. So I got invited by a friend of mine that works with a nonprofit. Save 22 is a veteran started, veteran ran, veteran supported nonprofit organization that's primary goal is to prevent veteran and first responder suicide. Essentially, they invited me to sell merch at the table, you know, to kind of for people to support the cause and to get t-shirts and hats and whatever else. And what I saw that weekend was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. So I have, you know, on this whole advocate journey, so I have mental health first aid training. I have QPR, which is question, persuade, refer for people that are considering suicide and that are in crisis. So I, you know, I come with all this training, and a big part of my role is lived experience. Like a big part of my qualifications, I guess, is having the lived experience of, you know, living with a mental health condition or caring for a family member that lives with a mental health condition. So I know firsthand how important that shared experience piece is to make people feel less isolated when they feel like they're in their darkest hour. The Save 22 guys, they're all vets who many, if not all of them, are suicide survivors themselves that have seen things and experienced things that only other service members can understand. But they extended that brotherhood to me that whole weekend and really made me feel like I was part of something so, so much bigger than myself. So,
well, and this isn't our first experience with Save 22 by a long shot.
Oh my gosh. So the poker run directly benefited Save 22, which was a big part of why we decided to do it. They've done other poker runs we've been a part of. There was some kind of ball waxing something or other at one of the SD. It was an ass?
Ass.
I knew it was something super, super hairy, but I wasn't sure what body part. So, there's a lot of groups that support these guys just because the work they do is so, so important. So we've done a ton of other, you know, events that directly benefited the organization. So
not that we've put on, that we went to.
No, that we've you know, been a part of. We had kind of a space right at the back of this booth. So if you've ever been to an incarceration, it's packed with people. It's also really largely populated at that event with, you know, retired and current service members. So there was no shortage of veterans that were attending the event. So honestly, it was a perfect little spot. One of the things that's really unique to Save 22 is that they had a thing that they were calling the back porch. And it was a fenced-in area that was literally just kind of a safe space for vets who had PTSD and had, you know, some of these bands use pyrotechnics and, you know, loud bangs and that kind of thing. So it offered a safe space for them to go for the overstimulation of like those noises and whatever, you know, they experienced in that kind of setting. But also these guys could pick the kid out of the crowd and when I say kids, some of these vets that were coming to the booth looked like they were too young to shave their face, but really carried so, so much on their shoulders, enough that so I couldn't recognize it, not having, you know, the military background that these guys do. And these people could tell me they were doing great and they, you know, they're smiling and they say they're doing fine. These guys could pick the guy out of the crowd that needed somebody to talk to. And I mean, literally the one at one point, the guy standing next to me, you know, the person standing in front of me said they were fine. The vet standing next to me from Save 22 said, "Why are you lying to me? Come sit on the back porch with me," and took this guy back there. And like, they really started that healing process for some of the people that really just needed somebody to talk to. And maybe some of them, it seemed like they didn't even know it. They didn't even know they needed somebody to talk to. Watching these guys from the organization with the lived experience of knowing the darkest place where your head can go and knowing the most unsafe place that your heart can go, like recognizing those people and giving them a space to have that conversation and just begin that path to healing was so... It was very, very impactful to see, but also it was so validating to what I'm doing. Like,
but let me ask you a question in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Being that, you know, you're a civilian in all of this and the experiences with these men and women that have gone through whatever traumatic situation mm-hmm. that they have gone through, whether they have diagnosed PTSD or you know, whatever it may sure. be, I'm not a specialist to be able to identify mm-hmm. all the issues there. But as a civilian that you were, and you heard these stories that these men and women were telling, in which they were in the places mentally that they resided, what was your feeling towards what these men and women have volunteered to do for us? To allow people like us to sit here and talk about anything we want.
Sure. So that's something that I actually... So when I talk about these guys really extended their brotherhood, like they made me feel like the protected little sister. They took care of me. They looked over me. They checked to see if I had enough water. But also the camaraderie that kind of happened between everybody, like they really made me feel like I was part of... something, even though I didn't have that combat experience. And you know, one of the guys I kind of touched on that, because one of the things at the end of the weekend, they presented me with a Challenger coin. So that's kind of almost exclusively a military thing, where you know, as you're moving up in rank or you're doing something special, you're being presented these kind of coins in your service or whatever. So for them to present me, someone with no combat experience, this coin was really just more proof of the kind of brotherhood that they were extending to me just for being a part of the thing. And at the end of it all, you know, I thank them for really making me feel like I was part of something so much huger than myself that I could never, ever fathom. Like, I can't know their life. I can't know their struggle. I can't know what they've seen or what they've experienced, because I am a civilian. And what he said to me when I made such a big deal about it was, you, the civilian, you, a person that's not doing this thing that we're doing, you're exactly who we're doing it for. So stop apologizing for being that person. Stop thanking us for being that person. Like, when we sign up, we know what we're signing up for, and you are the person that we're signing up for. And I just thought, okay, like,
well, and thank what you. An additional part and of your healing process that this allowed to, because if you wanted to take a step back and look at the picture and the entirety of, let's say, this whole experience in which we're just tossing out into the universe for right. anybody that wants can listen to. You know, you suffered a major trauma as a young woman that went undealt with for a very long time. You got into a lifestyle that could have exacerbated it and mm-hmm. took it down a darker road. Instead, we've been on a journey where we found people within a lifestyle that has gathered momentum towards the positivity, the healing.
Yes.
You know, the Wild Women's Retreat. Now you're with Save 22 and these people are all coming together. It's unfortunate that the trauma had to take place in your life, and I would give anything to be able to have been a part of your life to prevent that from have happening, because, you know, I'm a very protective person of you, not in an obsessive way, obviously, but in a very I need to know you're safe kind of way, and I'd rather step in front of the car for you kind of person.
Right.
From my point of view, just amazing how you took something that could have been a potential worst time of your life and the worst moment in your life and carry that all the way to now, where you're able to start on your path of recovery and perhaps get other people on that path of the recovery.
Right.
All within the ventures of our lifestyle experience, which, you know, I do want to talk about the sex a lot.
Yeah.
And I love the sex part of it.
Well, and
but there is a completely different connection part of it that can take place in all of it, which I guess is what we're really putting out there in this episode, which is amazing. And this is what we wanted, the positivity.
And these, I feel like these conversations too, like especially the one, you know, this one that we keep having, you know, the one that we've had since the beginning of our crisis to now, where, you know, the conversation's getting bigger because we know more now. We're, you know, here's another little gem that has changed my life hearing it. You don't know what you don't know. So as we're learning things and applying those things to our lives, and it's changing us, you know, in really huge ways, I think, it does come back to the lifestyle for me. Like, I'm comfortable at a point now in my healing journey where, like, I'm on one side of me, I'm ready to kind of start that whole Dom journey over for me, because I still want that peace. But I've also recently discovered that I think in my human service role, where I'm just trying to give as much support and resources to people as I can through, like, my career, now I'm also ready, I think, to allow space for a service sub. I want that opposite dynamic. I want someone to take care of me and not expect anything in return. Like, I'm ready now for someone to sit and just be human furniture and rub my feet and wear a cock cage and never ever come, and the end. Like, that.
I'm surprised.
Well, I feel like we've been working.
I don't want to say that in a cocky kind of way.
No.
Because I've seen a transformation here in past 6 months, per se.
Yeah, for sure.
Of a person that was looking for a dom actively to kind of taking a lot of control.
Yeah.
And implementing that in different facets of your life. Now, as long as you realize I'm still the boss, applesauce, we can move forward.
Oh, no. Like, to be very clear, like, Mr. Silver Fox and I are both very fucking big alpha energies. And what makes us work, I think, honestly, is that we stay in our own fucking lanes.
I agree.
And I love the meme that Lily shared the other day that was like, you can be the boss of me in the bedroom, but don't you dare try to be the boss of me in real life. Bitch, you ain't playing. Because for real, don't. Like, if we're at the grocery store, do not fuck around. But, you know, in the bedroom, you're allowed to be the boss. But, like, in our personal lives, we're both so, like, we're both dominant. We're both kind of alpha. And we stay in our own lane. Like, we are very, I feel very equal to you.
Same.
And I've always felt that way, no matter who was working the most, no matter who was making the most money, no matter who was
this,
none of that ever really changed the fact that we agreed to be equals. I feel like an equal with you constantly, even when I feel like a complete piece of shit. because of something I did or because of something I said or because of a situation.
I mean, I've never been in the middle of something.
No, not at all. I just mean like even when I feel like the biggest piece of shit on earth, I feel like you still look at me like an equal. Even when I'm afraid to say something to you because of I think you're going to look at me differently, you always look at me like an equal. That never changes. And I apologize for the time it took me to recognize that that was not going to change in you. Because as my first healthy sexual and emotional relationship, I really feel like I owe you the apology of those first 5 years where I waited for you to get bored or get sick of me or find something better or something. I waited for that other shoe to drop, and I don't think I fully trusted you and invested in you until we got past that point where I was like, oh fuck, you're not gonna leave me, are you? Like, you, when you said you love me and you said you want to be married to me, you, and I feel like we had that conversation in a small space. I don't remember what the space was, but I remember that feeling where I just kind of looked at you like, damn, like, you really meant it. Like, you're like, I just told you the most fucked up part of me, and you,
I'm very guilty of meaning what I say.
Yeah, no. And I do feel sometimes like I wasted that first 5 years. And I also feel like sometimes we not wasted, but we minimized that first 10 years by being so monogamous and not having these conversations sooner. Because I think that would have led to the, you know, it's hard to tell, but I do feel like our communication now, and whether it's because of the lifestyle, whether it's because of, you know, our mental health journey, whether it's because of our kid or our friends or our not friends or whatever, I feel like we communicate better today than we did yesterday. One time Mr. Silver Fox got me flowers and the card, and it said, I love you more today than I did yesterday. And for years, I might actually still have that in my wallet, but I do feel like that every day. And I feel like our communication is better every single day than it was the day before, even on the days when it's hard, because right. We learn lessons on those days.
We do.
Even on the fucking hardest days, we still learn something for the better of us, I think.
Oh, I'd have to agree.
Yeah.
I totally have to agree. I just appreciate everything. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I love this journey we're on. I
do too.
Well, and I appreciate you validating and respecting the space that I'm taking, that, in, you know, to some people might look selfish because it's for me, but like the space that I needed to take to do my own personal healing. I love you for giving me that space.
Well, and you give me a lot of space too. I mean, I have a lot of personal relationships with ladies that exist outside of your and mine relationship with them. Like, per se, is it a couple approach? I do have, you know, two or three individual relationships that I keep in close communication with. I just enjoy them as people.
Yeah. And,
you know, they respect you as a person. They interact with you when they see God, you. Yeah, you know, they're all wonderful. Like, but
I feel like if I can say one thing about you, you do not pick bad women. And like, the ones you're closest to are the most like me.
Right. I do have a type.
I mean, honestly, you don't have a type. A type has you. And like, you know, I recommend for the life of everyone's marriage, let your husband get a girlfriend, because listen, that shit will change your life. But like nobody has a metamor like my metamor. Like, we fit. I know I talk about that in a lot of podcasts. And also, the more I drink, I'm just like, oh my God, I love her so much.
Well, it's nice. I hope in the future that, you know, perhaps your relationship with a girlfriend or, you know, perhaps you go to a boyfriend, something at that point that we can share that. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like the sound of that.
It's not your thing. Listen, now.
I'd love to have a dom, and I have a little collection of like subs and cum gremlins that I fucking love. In fact, the blanket that we're sitting on right now, that's so soft and so ridiculously luxurious.
Thank you, whoever you are, guy.
Oh my God. Came from one of my favorite fuckboys who is just so nice to me and loves pictures of my feet. So thank you. Thanks so much.
Big shout out to you, fuckboy.
I love you.
So that's an amazing journey that I think is a very intimate, open window into a conversation of our lives.
Yeah. And I feel like we're moving. We're just constantly evolving and moving forward. And I'm not mad about that. I'm not afraid about that. And I still don't feel any kind of hesitation or doubt with you and with us than...
Well, and I think I
that
bring...
That I have ever, I think.
I bring something to our marriage, to our relationship, to my private life, to my business life. I bring something that I think was needed in your life.
Yes.
And it's my ability to not fear judgment of others.
Yeah.
I just don't care what you think
and
of
that's
me.
That's still a lesson I am struggling to learn.
Right.
I'm trying and I'm getting there in some aspects, but it's like, I really did. And I'll say, I'm not going to gush too much about how much I love you, but you balanced me out in so many ways.
You're the same the other way for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, where sometimes you need to stand as the granite statue, you know, I can fill in the blanks. And sometimes when I need a realistic approach on, you know, how I make people feel.
Right.
In my blunt nature.
Yeah.
I think it does serve each other very well. And it is a very, very balanced act.
I would say so.
That we may put forth.
We do okay.
I tolerate you. You're all right.
Oh my God. So before we get into like 3 more hours of conversation about how much we fucking love each other, I feel like let's talk about swinging forward.
That's been on my mind.
Okay. It's actually been on my mind too. So I think
I wonder if yours is going to be as outlandish as mine.
Oh, mine's...
Mine's going to be wild. Mind-blowingly wild.
Oh, shit.
Like...
Extra.
I can't believe
he said
that wild. I've been thinking about this. I caught a video. That's all I'm saying.
Caught a video. So I think yours might be closely related to mine. So I think my last one was that my girlfriend and I were discovering... Maybe considering strap-ons. So, okay, we are balls deep in this strap-on game.
Just take a second. You're like, my girlfriend. Can we say amazingly smoking hot blonde girlfriend?
Yeah, she's hot as fuck. She is literally... Okay, so when I was just talking to somebody yesterday where, you know, I said the word girlfriend and he was like, oh, girlfriend. And I said, bro, I can't even show you.
Like, why aren't you leaving me hot?
Yeah, no.
Like, I'm questioning you.
I'm like, I can't even show you. She's so disgustingly hot. Like, this bitch is a human fucking Barbie. Like, I'm so sick of myself. I don't even know where I found this hot-ass woman that deals with my bullshit. But anyway, she's hot as balls, right? So we are... Like, we are very deep into the strap-on journey. We have, like, 3 strap-ons. They are fitted in different ways. We've tried different things. And, oh, my God, listen to me. Nope. I'm just not going to say that out loud. But I am literally, like, on the back of my tongue right now, I can taste the drip of sweat from her chin from when she's on top. And I just can't. I can't. Anyways, the last episode, I wanted to get into the strap-ons, and I want to keep doing what we're doing with the strap-ons. I want to try all the strap-ons. I want to do all the things. But also, I would like to open up a space in my life for a service sub that comes to the house. And I want you to meet him, and I want you to like him, and I want you to watch him just fucking do shit for me. And then I want to talk about it while we fuck. So, there's that.
Okay. I mean... You want him in the room while we fuck?
Yes.
Okay.
I would love that. And also,
you just gotta take it?
Like, I want you to
hang... He doesn't exist? Or, I could just throw my condom on him when I'm done?
No,
or what?
That's rude.
Okay.
Just what? We don't... You and I?
Defining his boundaries?
Okay, it's I mean, you maybe and I. There's no condom.
Oh. Well, true.
You want him to drink out of one
so or something? I have to get rid of your girlfriend out of this fantasy.
Okay, well, she's not involved in this. We're talking about a subby fuck in the corner begging to jerk off.
Oh, I'm fantasizing. I'm just throwing my two cents in.
Okay, well, we can invite other girls. Maybe not my girlfriend, but maybe your girlfriend.
She's down.
She would love that. She loves strap-ons and all the things. Oh, my God.
So is that...
Yep, so that's my swinging forward. I want to keep trying more strap-ons, and I would like, I want to serve a sub. There it is.
So, this is going to be out of left
field. Oh my God, yeah, you said it's mind
way blowing. Out of left
field. This better be so impressive, because I'm going to talk so much shit to you if it's lame.
It's actually going to be like, are you serious?
Come off it.
So, what I would like... to find is a very feminine, facial featured, beautiful transgender woman and watch that person fuck you.
Mm.
With fake boobs.
Okay, so she's got to have a whole top. I was about to say, you know what? I am so obsessed with like Toledo's number one trans man, and he got himself the biggest fucking dick. But you're talking about male to female, so do they have a biological penis?
A biological penis, correct.
And tits.
Correct.
Okay. I would 1,000% fuck a trans person. Either way, I would fuck a drag queen, I would fuck a... I'm like no, Dr. Seuss. I'm
talking very specifically.
Okay, specifically though.
A transgender woman...
transgender woman
with a biological
tits,
penis.
Biological penis. With feminine fake features. Tits
that is very effeminate. Facial features.
Are you going to cuck?
I want to cuck it.
You don't want to fuck or... are you going to jerk off?
No, I just want to cuck.
Oh my God, that sounds so hot though. Okay, yeah. Yeah, oh my God, so, that's a whole, like, we need like an American Idol fucking set up for that with judges.
I was going through, you know, some Pornhub, and I came across the video of a porn star that I very much enjoy.
Okay.
And I saw it just look like two females together, and then one was a transgender, and I'm like...
all of a sudden...
well, I've never seen this before. What's this all about? And then I saw it, and I'm like, okay, I'm not against this, so I'm going to continue to watch, right? Science.
Right.
And... the watching of the 29-minute video ended in me jerking off with it.
Okay.
So I thought...
oh, fuck. I am 1,000% down for this.
Yeah, it's kind of hot. So I watched it again a couple times.
Oh, and you multi-nutted. Well, I just wanted to
make sure it wasn't a one-off.
Right.
Like, okay, this is interesting.
Like, am I just like, so fucking horny that anything could work?
The whole, you know, worrying about, is this gay? Is this not gay? You know, removing that dumb shit
Let me say something as someone who's comfortable wearing a strap-on now and desperately wants to peg a man. I don't think there's anything inherently gay about asking a woman to fuck you in your ass. Sometimes you just gotta know.
I'm not against anal stimulation. You know, I've had my salad tossed. Yeah. Tried a finger.
Well, and I think, like, you know? While I say, like, that is not inherently gay, okay, then what is it? I think it's a power dynamic, and I think that's hot.
Right.
Am I asking to peg you? Absolutely not, and I'm not sure I could do that to you. We have to raise a kid and eat dinner together, but... can I peg other dudes? Fucking absolutely.
Right.
Remember when I got really trashed and said, bring me all ye squirters? I'm not gonna say that thing because I'm not even half as trashed as that podcast.
I am not against any type of squirter. Oh my God.
No. Not at all. But what I'm saying is I'm not gonna say that open thing like, oh my God, I wish I had a butt plug and now I got 15 butt plugs from people.
Well, I don't care if I had 15 squirters. What's your point?
Okay, well, you're turning this into something different.
No, I'm talking about you getting banged by a hot transgender woman. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, listen.
And I wanna watch.
There it is. All right.
I'm not saying that I may not jerk off. I'm just saying my initial response is I wanna watch it. because
and see how you feel.
Well, I've never experienced it in personal life. Now, I watched it in a very fantasy oriented thing that's very not real.
Right, right.
You know, because a lot of threesomes are hot in your mind until you get into one.
Yep.
And then everybody's trying to figure out who the fucking leader is, or nobody wants to be it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But thank God you have me. I don't mind stepping up and telling people what to do.
Shit. Let me just remind you who's wearing this trap on here.
For who?
I would never come at you with this. But okay, now it's out there. I love that you've put that into the universe, and I support that.
And it's something that I would say that in the past, rewind the clock 10 years ago, I would never be able to say without fear of embarrassment or judgment of others.
Sure.
And I'm not saying I've been impervious like this my whole life, but I would have never been able to say this to anybody.
No.
You know, but to be able to, hey, you know what? Swinging forward is supposed to be by complete honesty and experiences of things that we haven't experienced. So, hey, that really turned me on in this very fantasy setting. The idea that it could happen in reality is probably very minimal in a way, you know, because we both would have to agree on that person, so on and so forth. That person has to agree with us. But if we do run into the opportunity that could take place, yes. I think I want to watch and see where that goes and how that makes me feel. But I do want to watch that person fuck you. For sure. Yeah. It sounds very hot in my fantasy.
Listen, it sounds hot right now to me, you saying it.
I've had this fantasy in my mind quite a bit before I brought it to the table today.
Okay.
But this was my swinging forward since we made the last episode.
You held it in for a minute.
I wanted to say it on the last episode, but I'm like, nah, you're not going to say it. But you know what? We're in our bedroom. We're in our safe sexual kingdom here.
Yeah.
So that's my swinging forward.
I love that.
So, anything else on your mind that we need to talk about on this episode? I mean, it seems like
I don't think so. I think I think we have a couple of separate things planned in the month coming up. I have some like work training. I'm having a few dinners with new friends and old friends.
You got an event coming up that you're going to by yourself.
Yourself
without me.
Yeah, not.
Yeah. But you are taking people you know, or at least one person you know.
Maybe two. Sounds like, as of tonight, it sounds like the message I was getting is that I'm going to be trapped in a cute little lesbian sandwich in a 3-person tent. And I'm completely prepared for that.
That sounds like you need a video camera.
Honestly.
Right. I will be with Lily that same weekend.
Dave is growing like a fucking mini vacay.
Yeah, on a different adventure, we're heading off. So, I hope this lesbian sandwich comes with at least pictures. I mean, God's sakes, take a video.
I know. What am I even a photographer?
Yeah,
what?
Right. I take more videos than you by far.
I need a tripod, a ring light, and a separate phone. I already said that.
Let's see. I've got some separate adventures that are heading out there, you know.
I'm excited to see what the future brings us in our, you know, because some of the stuff we have coming up is not completely separate from each other, because I feel like we always bring a piece of everything back to each other in some way. But having different, like, group experiences and, like, date experiences, I think, is going to bring, like, an interesting new level up of conversations.
I agree, because you keep sometimes a separate side group of people in the lifestyle that I'm friends with.
Yeah.
You know, when we're together, we all hang out. I mean, I love them to death, but I hang out with, you know, other people, separate of you in the lifestyle. And we hang out with a lot of wonderful motherfuckers together.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Well, and that's awesome. But I think part of what kept us from so long from, like, not splitting off from each other, but, like, exploring
being things okay with
separately,
it.
Right. Yeah, and being okay with it is like a big part of what we were when we started. Was, you know, everything's in the same room. Right. Everything's in the same bed. Everything's at the same event.
I still feel a little guilty sometimes, to be honest.
Honestly, sometimes I do too.
I feel guilty. You know, I have a unicorn that I really enjoy the company of. That sometimes I feel really guilty of telling you that I want her to come over or she's coming over, and I don't know why.
Well, and the funny thing is when you, you know, like the fucked up thing and the funny thing about it is that when you do feel bad about it, it's like I'm already. Like, the last time you said something about it, I was spending the night with my girlfriend. So I was already gone.
Right.
And you were still like, oh, I don't really know. I'm like, babe, bless right. your heart. But no, I get it. Because a big part of what, you know, everything was so together. Our rules were so stringent. Everything was so tight. And so this. And now, you know, not to say that we're just more comfortable in the lifestyle and we're more comfortable with each other. And that part is definitely true. But like, we have both absolutely fucked up to the point that, like, people outside of the lifestyle would be like, I'm fucking leaving her. I'm fucking leaving him. Like, we've been to those spots within this lifestyle and still said, you know what? I fucking choose you. Like,
right.
If I judge you, right. Like, if I judge you and if I judge anyone based on something they did that they're not proud of or like the darkest moment in somebody's life. Imagine, like, nobody would fucking respect anybody. Right. Like, if we all had to be judged by the worst moments in our life or, like, the decisions we wish we wouldn't have made.
And I'd rather just stupid. Judge you in the moment than which Absolutely. You stand me. Or try to avoid judgment altogether.
Honestly,
and,
yeah.
And just see what, you know, positivity we can bring to each other.
Right.
Rather than, you know, the issues of others that we can't really solve.
Right. We can't solve the issues in others. We can't solve the narrative people are using at us or against us or, you know, however people need to talk about people. That you can't do anything about that.
Let's tell everybody how they can get a hold of us.
Yep. So I'm on Swing Towns. I'm on Cassidy, Silver Fox 79 on both of those. And I am a certified photographer through Cassidy. So no matter where you're at, if you're looking for a lifestyle friendly photographer, you can get a hold of me. I do travel and I would love to show you my full body. Of work.
You can find me at Swinger Zone Central. I'm Silver Fox 79 there. You can find me at swinglifestyles.com. I'm also Silver Fox 79 there. You can reach out to us by email at silverfoxswingset@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Silver Fox Swings. Or you can make this all super simple and just head over to silverfoxswingset.com. And contact us or find us or listen to us now to find the latest episodes. Shoot us an email. You want to take us out to eat? You want to buy us some drinks?
You want to eat some queso? Okay.
We're totally down with you.
Yeah.
So let us know. And as I always say, if anything, we can have a good night. If everything, we can have an amazing one. You can find me at Swinger Zone Central.
And Swing Lifestyle. Clearly we check the websites pretty often, so please actually use our fucking email, which is twitter.twitter.twitter silverfox, put it in your butt.twitter.
You can find me. Fucker.
I'm out here just tweeting my fucking
just tweeting your out. Dick off.
Yeah. Where'd my dick go? It's tweeting.